searching our minds. What do we want in life? What is important to us? And if you're really sincere with yourself, it always comes, and the answer lies within only one thing, and that's peace of mind. You can have everything else in the world, but if you do not have peace of mind, you're nothing. You are not happy with yourself or anyone around you, and you're never, never going to be happy. All the money in the world could not pacify you if you did not have peace of mind, and certainly silver and gold is not the answer to peace of mind. It helps. You bet it helps, but it's not the answer. So we could make a commentary, probably an hour long, on this. It might be done in some places, but I would rather see what our Father has to say about it. How you find yourself. How you set up a set of parameters or buffers in your life and your mind and your thoughts, and may even then you be open-minded enough that as those parameters are set, you don't mind at least looking what's even further, so that with a mind using common sense, that you can determine what is good for yourself. There is a book in the Old Testament called the Ecclesiastes that was written by the wisest man that ever walked the earth other than Christ himself. That's to say, Solomon, with his own name meaning son of peace. But what from that wisdom, certainly given to him from our Father, being our Father's wisdom, he searched his mind. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and let's see what the preacher, as he is called, meaning teacher, had to say, yes, even to you today, for he begins the chapter by saying, there is nothing new under the sun, that has been shall be again, referring to the types that Almighty God set up by our people's actions, combat, and so forth, that would simply replay again. That has been shall be again. Second book after that great book of Psalms, Ecclesiastes, second book after that great book of Psalms, and chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading with verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath already been of old time, which was before us. It happened before. There is no remembrance of former things in men's minds. They seem to have to learn everything all over again. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. In other words, people do not pay attention to the history of God's Word, meaning His story. Gotta learn it all over again. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Now, pay attention. And I gave my heart. You know that the word heart in the Hebrew tongue means mind. I gave my mind to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to sons of men to be exercised therewith. What is this searching of the mind to see what is good under the sun? Who gave it to us? Who gave this troubling thought, that some might call it, rather than an exercise? God, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. That's, he gives you a mind, but he gives you a little travail. Travail is, as a woman in birth, a little pain sometimes up there, for you to search out the way and be able to at least apply the thought of one thing to another without getting in over your head, considering it a deep, deep thing for your little human mind. So, it is placed there. God never intended that everything fall in place for you if you did not have the common sense to be able to sort things out in your own mind for yourself, using His Word as a guideline thereto. And then you begin to see a new horizon. That maybe, just maybe, our Father is in control and things are not quite as bad in my little old life as I thought they might be. I thought the end of the world had come because the washing machine broke down. Well, you know, keeping things in priority, in their proper perspective. This is an exercise God has given us to ferret out your problems in every day, each day of life, of what comes first. What are you going to do first when you wake up in the morning? Always sit down, plan your day out as best you can, and if it doesn't go according to your plans, don't lose control. All right? I know none of you do this, but sometimes it happens to me, so I thought I'd just share it using myself as an example. All right? Keep your cool. Don't get shook on your first cruise, all right? Just think things through, all right? God gave you a mind. He put that upon you. He said, now, hey, I have created a wonderful thing here. It's called gray matter. I want you to use it. That's really what's being said here, all right? God didn't intend that you not use it. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, in the Hebrew, emptiness. And vexation of spirit. Spirit is ruach in the Hebrew tongue. You know what he's really saying? When I look at it, it's like feeding on the wind. Man, there's nothing there. It's empty as far as giving me peace of mind. Empty. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Boy, I got more troubles and more wants than I can even number. They're as numerous as the sands of the sea. Give me this, give me that. I need this and I need that. I commune with mine own heart, meaning mind. I really thought, I meditated in my own mind, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. I got it. Then, great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Yerushalayim, meaning the habitation of peace. Yea, my heart hath great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Now, you know, it's real easy for a man that begins to get a little gray hair to have been through the circuit and to have studied long to say, yes, I have read all, seen all, and understood all. Show me a man that will say that and I will show you a fool. For a man does not understand all, he might scratch the surface. But there is yet much to learn from our Father's Word. All wisdom comes from Him and in Him. There is another wisdom. It does not hurt to possess it, but if you set your goals by it, you will never find peace of mind, and that is to say the wisdom of this world. Verse 17, I gave my heart, that's to say my mind, to know wisdom. Now think about that a moment. What does it really say? I really gave my mind over to understanding, to searching, to seeking, to being wise in the things of both heaven and earth. And to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of the spirit. It's a bunch of wind. In other words, I had everything else. I had riches and everything else. And I thought, well, I'll just try to play the fool a while. That was foolish, too. Make everyone laugh. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with laughter. But to find peace of mind in laughter and folly, you never will. Now, don't anyone take the examples given within this to say then that makes laughter bad. No, not at all. Just it makes you feel good, and laughter is good. But folly that serves no purpose, it's like the wind. When it's gone, it's gone. For in much wisdom is much grief. Now what kind of wisdom are we talking about? What was forementioned? Wisdom of this world. What men consider to be wisdom, not our Father's wisdom. Wise, streetwise. Have you ever heard that term? That's what it means. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And truly, streetwise or worldwise will bring sorrow. You can count on it. There you will never find peace of mind. It's not there for you. So what is he saying? I'll tell you, he's doing pretty good. Let's continue on a moment. Chapter 2, verse 1. I said in my mind, if you don't mind, I'm going to read it that way rather than explaining the Hebrew. I said in my mind, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth. We're going to try a little laughter. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. As far as just being a clown, a comedian, or simply going, if I enjoy going to a nightclub, I just clubbed all the time. I considered that my pleasure. It also was just the wind. Nothing to it. As far as having peace of mind, in understanding your own self and soul, which are one and the same. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? In other words, that won't bring you peace of mind. Understand, it does not say that laughter is bad. It is good. But it won't bring you peace of mind. It's only one of the attributes that true laughter follows, genuine peace of mind. I sought in my mind to give myself unto wine. Thought I'd try the old spirits in the bottle. Yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons, what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Just thought I would try it a little bit to see. Maybe this is what's good for man on this earth as he walks under the heaven. I must tell you, this is a Hebrew idiom. The man that walks under the heaven or the sun means the man that walks in flesh. That's why this book of Ecclesiastes was written to you that live in the flesh, telling you how to understand your flesh and how to set the parameters thereof, the entire work. Naturally, we're not going to cover it this day, but I have to explain that idiom as we go by. Verse 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. This is probably, and there's nothing wrong with having multi-houses and many vineyards. There's nothing wrong with being rich as long as it is the blessings of God. But it won't bring you peace of mind. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. What this, in the Hebrew, this has a second meaning. Garden is paradise. What he's saying is, I got lots of properties, and I tried to build my own paradise on earth. There's nothing wrong with having your own paradise on earth, but it won't bring you peace of mind. You can seclude yourself. You can set yourself away, and you can have all the money in the world. And my friends, it will not bring you peace of mind. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I had pools everywhere. And stop and think about it a moment. You know, I was born and raised over in Warwick, Oklahoma, sometimes if we had back in the Depression, I know young people get tired of hearing these stories. Stick around, you might find out what we were really talking about if things continue. But you know, I had a pool. I had a swimming pool called Beaver Creek. God put it there. He put the Pacific Ocean. I spent 18 months on Saipan. I had a swimming pool every day. It's wonderful. The Lord built it. So you see, you understand where I'm coming from. There's nothing wrong, certainly, and praise God for those that have swimming pools. There's nothing wrong with it. But what I'm saying, for those that are not in that position, you've got pools too. Your Father is fair. He's equal. Never apologize for God's blessings. But what I'm saying is, I'm just asking you to let your mind, rather than say, oh, Lord, I wish I had a swimming pool. This guy's got a swimming pool and I don't have one. Well, you do, all right? It's so easy to feel sorry for yourself. And the moment you start that, I call it the poor baby syndrome. All the way down, friend, all the way down. Okay. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. I was rich for a long time. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I was the richest man in the world. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men. I mean, you could enjoy music, and music is wonderful as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. I had it all. And music is wonderful. It will not bring you peace of mind. It helps soothe, yes. Look at David, how he soothed Saul. But my friend, that is not peace of mind. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Solomon says, I was the richest man that ever had walked Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remaineth with me. I want you to think on that long and let me explain. He's talking about divine wisdom. While I tried all these things, that deep inrooted wisdom, that divine wisdom that God had given me stayed with me through all those things as I was searching. And that's what this sermon is about, searching yourself. God gave you a mind, and He allows it. He gave you travail, if you would, if you want to consider it that. I consider, quite frankly, mind exercise quite healthy, and it's just like the muscle in this arm allow me. The more I exercise, the better in shape it stays. Do you know something, my friend? A lot of people say to me, certainly you have a great memory. You can memorize things where you can do an hour's television without cue cards, without prompts, or you can answer question after question after question. It's when you use your mind every day, and when you commit so much to memory every day, I'm not saying you should attempt to do this. It's my profession, called by God, to have done that. And then He increases the gift. But you must use your mind. Exercise it every day. Commit things to memory. Well, that telephone number, I better write it down. Well, go ahead and write it down, but challenge yourself. I'll remember that number. Keep this thing healthy as well as you do this. You know, physical exercise is necessary, but so is mental. God gave it to you for a purpose. I'll tell you something. Within what I'm saying now is the prime root. I speak as a linguist to finding peace of mind. It is the prime root of finding peace of mind. You will never find peace of mind if you don't use your mind. You understand where I'm coming from? In all these things, your divine minister, wisdom, that is to say, wisdom that you learned from your parents concerning our Father in the precious blood of the Lamb, those things do not leave you. And verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my mind from any joy, for my mind rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought. I looked at the pools, I looked at the servants, I looked at the buildings, the farms, the vineyards, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. That in the Hebrew manuscripts, it was empty, void, nothing there, and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. I did not have peace of mind. In my own mind, I had fallen short. Understand, this was Solomon, the wealthiest man in the world. And you can document this by the fact, and I trust that we're going to be able to do a documentary on it if God lingers this age, down in off Chile. We have found mines in ancient Hebrew with Solomon's seal. That's a fascinating thing. And who knows, old Princess, Cheyenne Princess, if we can get her little old turbo fans turning fast enough, that wouldn't be such a bad hop in it to take the crew down and do a documentary there. But what I'm saying is, it's true, he circled the globe probably more than you might think. He said it was all empty. And I turned myself to behold wisdom. This is divine wisdom. And madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Now, there is nothing new under the sun. And how do we find peace of mind? How do we regulate it? Well, if we were to finish the book, but I choose to find it in a different place, you find out how to find peace of mind. We're going to take a shortcut. The book, just before this book of Ecclesiastes, Proverbs chapter 25, turn to it. Just before, you only have to turn two or three pages there. Okay? Proverbs 25, I want to pick it up with verse 2. We're going to just go a little ways here in this. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out the matter. Kings are leaders, and all of you that are interested in God's Word, in a sense, are leaders, inasmuch as you plant seeds to other people and they look at the example that you set forth. Are you happy? Are people drawn to you because you have something that flows, that they feel a comfort? And knowing that you have an understanding, that you have peace of mind, nothing will draw people to you more than possessing peace of mind, because it is a precious, precious thing. Many, not too many, but many do possess it. When they reach that understanding, then we all fall short. And that's the time you repent and get control of your mind and meditate and get back to the things that are not wind, not void, not emptiness, but important. The heaven for height. How do you search these things out? The heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. You really, their minds are unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver. You take that old slag when you're smelting silver, pull it away from the bright, precious metal, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. While you're learning and while you're searching for peace of mind, hold your place. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. In other words, rather, get down from here. Christ made a parable concerning that. Remember? It was a very wise parable, for it was from the book of wisdom. Go not forth hastily to strive. Don't rush into an argument or conflict. In other words, if you've had trouble, think on it real good before you bounce out there and mouth off. That's what he's saying. Let me just tell it like it is. Lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. You run out of gas and thought before you get your point made, in other words. Or might even find yourself wrong or having misjudged or misquoted. When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. This is good advice. And discover not a secret to another. Once you talk to somebody, these are called lips. Learn how to zip them, you know. There is nothing that can hurt or do disservice to your own self as far as you ever having peace of mind is to share a confidence that you know was given just for you. It's a beautiful thing when somebody loves you and trusts you enough that they feel, I can share this with you. And then come to have it bounce back off the wall, you know, 2 weeks later as having been heard from some other source. It's an awesome disappointment. You all know what I'm talking about, and I know sometimes these little old lips, we put a zipper on them and it breaks loose and they're flapping. The next thing you know, it's hard, you know. It's, I mean, as juicy and good as that little tidbit, that person, I love her and everything, but I got to share it, you know. Well, zip it, you know. It's going to destroy your peace of mind because it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let me tell you something. God, I'll use myself as an example. I suppose that for one person, I have heard things said about me that are so juicy, I hate I missed it, some of it, you know. I really do. It was wonderful. It would have been, no, I jest, all right. About places I've never even been. I find that fantastic. I find it fascinating. Really, I do, you know. Here you've gone and done all these things and you've never even been to the place. Interesting, why? I mean, that doesn't happen too often, but what I'm saying is when you put yourself up on satellite, you get a tough skin pretty quick, you know. They say, call in here and say, God, that man's got the biggest ears I've ever seen in my life. You know, he really has a set of ears on him, you know. I mean, real complimentary stuff, you know. And if you use too much colloquial language, they'll say, did you hear what that hick said, you know. So pretty soon you just take those, you really develop, you know, a sense of, Father, why did you do this to me? Why did you put me in this place? You know? And then you mature and you say, what does it matter? You know, What does it matter? You're there to plant seeds. So, what's my point? Don't be too thin-skinned, all right? Don't be too thin-skinned. If God has given you a mind that you can mature, where you can use common sense, then feel a little compassion for someone that he has not, and they still flap the lip and that sort of thing. God will take care of it. That's what I'm telling you. God will take care of it. He will see that they are reimbursed. Verse 11, is that where we were? We'll take it there anyway. 10. Lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Once you get a reputation as a gossip, not a very good thing. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of the fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Within that we find peace of mind. Turn on back to the book just before this, Psalms. Want to go to Psalms 139. Turn there with me, please. Let's find us some answers here from the psalmist on these things that we have spoken. And this is a beautiful psalm from the chief musician. It has to do with deliverance from self. You ever think you had to be delivered from yourself? If self can be, you know, can get to be a pretty bad person sometimes, and no one knows it better than self. We all mess up. But what have we learned to this point? God gave you a mind to sort things out, and He expects, He's not going to do it for you, He expects you to sort it out for yourself. And He told us many things of this earth and as to how they, what good they would be to you. They're good for pleasure. Good to have wealth. That's the blessings of God. But it's not going to bring you peace of mind. What does peace of mind mean in the framework that I'm using it? It means that you understand things to a point that you are totally, completely satisfied with your position in life, in this flesh body. Totally satisfied with it to the point knowing and believing that you're going ahead at the best pace possible and that God is in control. That will bring you peace of mind. Psalms 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Oh, but that we could do that. In other words, your Father knows all about you. He knows your mind, your thoughts. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off, and He does. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. You know all the things I've done. And there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. You don't keep secrets from God. There are people that are naive enough that they say, I would like to repent, but I don't want God to know about it. You know? Oh, man, he knew when the thought hit your little old mind. I'm just glad He's forgiving, I'll tell you for sure. You know, that. But He knows. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. You have kept a close guard upon me. And your Father promises that. Do you not remember in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, where it is written, your angel has the face of God every moment, simply meaning translated into English, the angel that looks over you has God's attention anytime you get in trouble, watched and controlled. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. Now, I cannot attain unto it. It's beyond my grasp to understand it all. Beloved, you're getting at the root of peace of mind here. It's to know your Father knows all about you. And we have that. We have certain churches that would say, so you better get your act together, you're going to burn in hell. No, I would rather put it this way. He's not watching you that closely to burn you. He's watching you that closely as you would an infant child, 2 years old, that's playing in a dangerous place. He's watching you because He loves you, because He cares, because He wants to help you. He does not wish to hurt you. Man only hurts himself because he does not have peace of mind. he hurts those around him when he does not have peace of mind. Getting no pleasure whatsoever from hurting someone but that little quick moment of, I guess I showed you. And it wears away and you feel terrible and know you're such a louse, you know, and you know that God knows it too, and you repent and get back into his love by doing what? Using the gray matter right there behind your eyes. Right there behind your eyes is where it's at. And you begin to use it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? How could I get away from you, God? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I could even translate this in a little different way. I don't like to, and it's against my better judgment, but I'm going to say, if somebody decided, well, I'm going to commit suicide and get out of this flesh life and just to get away from it. No, he's the first one you're going to face. He's everywhere, in other words. There's no getting away, so you can just rest your mind and put that out of your mind. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I come up where the sun is in the east and I follow it all day long and go as far west as I can go, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That's holding in the sense of caring and loving. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. I don't want you to read over that, beloved. When you're in God's hand, I don't care how dark it is, he is the light. You understand? There's nothing dark for you. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The good times and the hard times are all the same to our Father. Understand this. If thou hast possessed my reins, that means, for thou hast possessed my very inward being, my mind itself, practically. That's one thing God will never do, is control your mind. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. That means, better translated, perhaps you fashioned me in my mother's womb. The little hands, the little feet, so forth. Now, really sharpen up for me and open your mind up. Think back to the world that was and this, although I know that's an impossibility, but think on that thought anyway. I will praise thee, for I am fearful, reverful would be better, and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. And God has. The human body is a marvelous work. And for some of us, probably a greater beauty than others. I don't know. I think the ladies just took the ribbon, if you know what I mean. Be that as it may, God was kinder to ladies than he was men. But then that's well and good, too. What I'm saying is, he created you, this body, for you, and then placed your mind in it, all right? My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, meaning what? What is your body made of? Earth. God formed Adam from the clay. The lower parts being the womb itself, as I was formed there out of sight of all others, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfected. And in thy book, all my members were written. Hey, you need to hang on to that a moment, friend. Before you were perfected. Are you perfected yet? Are you perfect? I don't think so. I'm not. In other words, it has a twofold meaning. Before, God said to Jeremiah, before you ever entered your mother's womb, I chose you as a prophet. In other words, he was written in the book, the Lamb's book, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Before I was even formed, you knew what I looked like. Now think about that a moment. God said to the Elohim, that's God and the angels, let us make man in our image. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How deep they are. Beloved, you've got to believe that. God cares about you as an individual. He cares what happens to you. Well, I've never done anything to make him proud of me. Well, it's not too late to start. Not too late to start at all. because he loves you. You are his child. If you had a child that came along slow, and you had four others that were swift, would you be not more blessed to see all of a sudden someday that one that was slow spring up into a mathematical genius or something of that nature? Of course you would. It's never too late to please your father and make him proud of you. It starts when you find peace of mind, when you begin to understand that was, that is, and that there is nothing new under the sun. That in serving him is to serve your parent, for he is your closest of kin. He is your kinsman redeemer. He is so close that he shed his blood to give you the privilege of saying, I repent, I'm sorry, Father. And he paid the price. An awesome price, for there is an awesome amount of sin. But he loves you. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Oh, the sum of it, the great sum. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Don't let wicked people upset you. I'm not saying be ignorant and not protect yourself. That is your God-given Christian right. If somebody walks up and throws a block at you, step out of the way and let them fall on their face, all right? If you are teaching the Word and the Word upset one and they reach out and slap you, turn the other cheek. But if you're walking down the street and some bully comes up and slaps your cheek, knock that sucker down, all right? Kick him, you know, on the way down if you have to. God doesn't expect his children to be second-class citizens just to have good manners, all right? God will take care of the wicked, you know, those that you can't take care of. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. It hurts to hear people misteach the Word of God and to say thing against God, but he can handle it. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. If they're against your father, they're against you. It's called righteous indignation, is what we call it in English. Search me, O God, and know my mind, know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. Don't worry, he does. He knows your thoughts. He knows what kind of person you are. And he has the power to touch you and to bring you that peace of mind where you can be proud of him. And beloved, when you are proud of him, though you may not be proud of yourself at this time, you will be soon. You can take pride in what you have accomplished, is what I'm saying. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In thy way. What is his way? Who is the way? Christ is the way. So naturally, it is the gospel. In closing, let's find out where we find that way, that path, where we find that peace of mind. Again, what have we covered to this point? God gave you a mind, and he intends you to use it with common sense. That is to say, seeing that is good and that is bad. And to be always fair and just. Always be willing to give the benefit of the doubt. But at the same time, do that you must to maintain stability in the quality of life in your circle as possible in the correct way, his way, allowing him to take care of some. Some are going to say, well, you don't understand my old brother so-and-so. Well, Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament at the hand of God. And boy, if a man ever walked this earth and deserved better treatment, I don't know who it would be. But you see, old Paul knew that he wasn't perfect, that he'd killed a lot of Christians before he became a Christian. But God took him to the third heaven, and man, when he came back, old Paul was on cloud nine, you know. And God took a thorn and let the air out of him. So sometimes when you have this person that just, I don't know if you know the type of person that I'm talking about, but when they come around, you just, yuck, what is God, allow that person in my life, you know. That is a clown, a no good Nick. I mean, and this is true. Maybe they probably is no good as sometimes salt is that's lost its savor, you know, but they can't help it, all right? They can't help it. God expects you to be able to understand people like that. I mean, after all, he gave you everything. Can't you have a little compassion for somebody who gave nothing? Do you understand where I'm coming from? That's hypothetical? Sure it is. Absolutely. But what I'm saying is question, use this mind. When somebody really gives you a hard time, did God allow that to come to pass to test what kind of stuff he had in his child as to how you would handle it? He said, I gave you that mind to travail with, to sort it out, to handle it, child. I mean, after all, like father, like son or daughter, I give you something to handle it with. Gray matter. So we see then that God does expect more out of us than he does others. In a sense, not really, but in a sense we could say that. He expects you to understand the wicked. It's all right to have righteous indignation against them. You wouldn't be normal. You wouldn't be of your father if you didn't, because he has righteous indignation. It's all right. But you got gray matter. Use it. There is no sword sharper than the sword of righteous indignation. You can take a man, and I mean stand at this distance, and start taking him apart with, I'm saying righteous. I'm not talking about self-righteous now. With righteous indignation, you can shave every bit of the skin off his body and leave him standing there in raw flesh. I'm talking about righteous indignation. Why? Your father will help you. Now, I hope you never have to experience something like that. But believe me, God has given you a sword that is extremely short. And for those that are not understanding, I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. It's truth. Okay, in conclusion, let's go to, what do we want to go to complete this? Let's find out from Peter. Oh, way back over almost to the book of Revelation, past James. We got 1 Peter there. And we're going to close this out in just a very few verses here on how do I find peace of mind. When you ask yourself, and I expect you to meditate on these things so that you know and so that you better understand. Peter's talking about the words of Christ. He's talking about the gospel, which is to say the good news that Christ taught when he walked the earth. Let's pick it up for the sake of time in verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. I think we better get it with 9. That starts the thought. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets, who were the prophets? The Old Testament. The minor prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, have inquired and searched. There's that word again. Searched what? Diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now I want you to understand that. The Old Testament, the prophets searched to find ways that would speak of Christ that should come and the things that he would teach. Do you not remember when I said earlier Christ used this in a parable, don't take the high seat, but take the low seat and allow someone to ask you to come to the high seat? You see, all the Old Testament is the groundwork to the new. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They knew. What he's saying here is the prophets knew, Psalms 22, that Christ was nailed to the cross, that they would even be gambling for his clothing, and the very words that the fake priest Caiaphas would speak are written in Psalms 22, that he would speak them. Man cannot arrange that. And from the words that Christ spoke on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, the very first verse of Psalms 22 in pure Hebrew with one Aramaic verb. It was all beforehand. All you have to do is absorb it. If you have peace of mind, you will listen to the searching of the prophets as well as yourself. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit or Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. In other words, it was written long ago what's happening to you now, if you know where to look. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it happens when you gird up a ship? A belt is a girt. You girt your tiny up, well, to hold your britches up, I guess. But also, maybe, let's say, I wish I hadn't started this. But to hold your tummy in, maybe, you know, to make it stronger, you know. You gird it up. Well, do that to your mind, all right? Girt your mind up. That's what he's saying. Use it. Be sober. That means sincere. And hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what that's saying? Revelation means it will be revealed to you, and within that, beloved, man only fears the unknown. You will know the revelation, that is to say, the things that will be. Again, back to the beginning, there's nothing new under the sun. It's a replay of the same thing. Man fears the unknown, but when it is revealed to you what shall be, you have peace of mind. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, be obedient to your father and look at him as your father, not God, some indestructible force way out in the never land with flashing lights. He looks like you do. You're built in his image and he loves you. He cares. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I wish we all could. Oh, I would. And then you don't want to stop and think about it. I don't know if I could stand you or not. Okay? I like you are. All right? Can you appreciate the love in that? I like you are. I love you like you are. So when you look around yourselves, understand that we are not perfect yet. So be patient with us when we mess up. When we say the wrong things, try to understand us and be patient with us. When you analyze yourself in all its wisdom, make a little room for love. But within doing that, don't get carried away and root out all the self-indignation, the righteous indignation that should be planted there to say, we do this fair and square. All right, may I say that? You know, maintain that. Because, verse 16, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Try to, you'll never make it, my friend, for only God is holy. But that's fine. None of the rest of us are either. That's why it takes patience. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. A lot said there. You hear a lot of people say, work doesn't have anything to do with it, it's salvation. You say, yes, I'm saved, and you're saved forever, and you never have to go back to church again. Or anything else. Church doesn't have anything to do with it. What have you done for your father lately? Have you taken the time to say, here he's got this troubled globe down here and people blowing oil fields and the world apart, and that's fine. We're after Saddam. But everybody is so preoccupied that, and I'm happy to report that many more are turning back to him. But you know that you can say, Father, I love you. Without asking him for anything. Just tell him. Don't you like to be told that by someone you really love, I love you? Then take the time to say, Father, I love you. I know it's a bad time. That makes his day. And he will bless you for it. That is work. And that's a work you're doing. When you can take a moment on he that gave us all these things and say, just thank you for it. Just thank you for touching me. You know, let him know he loves you and he wants to hear from you. Okay, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, or reverence would be better translation. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold and your vain conversations, that's vanity, emptiness, riches. That won't find it for you. Nothing wrong with them, understand. It's a blessing to be rich with God's blessings. Received by traditions from your fathers, traditions of men, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was perfect. Who verily was foreordained, planned long ago, remember? Before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Some of us it was near the last time. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory and your faith and hope, that your faith and your hope might be in God. That's peace of mind, my friend. You find it in your Father. Your Father stands as a strong army, ready to do your battle for you, ready to take care of the hard times for you after you've done all that you can. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. You know what that is? A love that doesn't have something tied to it, all right? Of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Beloved, that is where you find peace of mind, in the word of God and his love and caring for you. Promising you I'll take care of your problems as long as you'll do your best, which liveth and abideth forever. Not something that fades. Not something that changes every time we elect a new president, but forever a word that makes you somebody, a child of the living God, your Father. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. In other words, I don't care what you possess through this lifetime. Blessed be ye that are blessed. That's fine. But it doesn't last. So plan, move your parameters out and plan for the eternity, and may most of your riches be there. And the flower thereof falleth away. It just dies. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Find peace of mind. Find comfort in him. After all, he loves you. He cares. It makes a difference to him what happens to you. So talk to him and let him know that you love him as well. All, there is nothing new under the sun. All that has been shall be again. Learn by others' mistakes. If you walk through a red-hot bed of coals for quite a ways, you're going to burn your pinkies, all right? Well, it's not that difficult to go around that rascal, all right? You know, it doesn't take too much gray matter. So when you see mistakes, learn by others' mistakes and help them from their mistakes, and you took a shortcut. Use your mind for the good works of the Heavenly Father. Think. I'm not saying become a religious fanatic, but at least be a loving child. Won't you do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the word that is eternal. Thank you, Father, for the understanding that we draw and milk, Father, from that word, Father, into a mind that brings that peace that we can enjoy at this time. We thank you so much for it in Yahshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.